Susan, Taylor, you guys are doing a great job. Thank you. Yeah. Let's have a round of applause for our ushers and the service team. And the guys on the sound desk doing a great job. Thank you, guys. I just love the contribution that each and every one of you bring to making service as awesome as it is. Even saw Gail there at the back having a little bit of a power prophetic prayer during worship. It's just awesome. Everyone, it's like, it's just so cool, that body, that each and every one of us has our own unique gifts and talents, and we strengthen the body in our own unique way. You know, some people are skilled on the instruments, some people are got the AV know-how, and it's just, and then we got like people like Karina in the cafe, and I'm thankful for people who are going to be cooking the sausage sizzle. I'd be there if I didn't have to pray for people after the service. I'd be there cooking snaggers. I love barbecuing, man. It must be the South African in me coming out. We love our red meat. Anyway, so let's jump in to what I've got to share this morning. I've got a few graphs that I just want to share first. Duncan, if you wouldn't mind putting up the first one. So I just want to draw your attention to this. We one church in two locations. I'm just going to move this, otherwise I might impale myself later. So we are one church in two locations, and the reason why I show you this graph is this is Frio has a mortgage on their building in Fremantle, and at the beginning of last year it was at about 1.8 million with a $70,000 loan redraw facility. That sounds like a lot, but we had a valuers come through the church a couple of years ago, and they valued the facility in Fremantle around $4 million. So it's quite a big loan, but in terms of the assets that the church owns, we paid down a lot of it. Well, the Frio has. Then we withdrew $70,000 for the Wellard renovations. Who's glad that we have a building like this now, rather than a mobile campus? And then from there, we purchased this building, which was $350,000. I mean, if you look at the facility that we have here now and the fact that it's commercial right across the golf course next to so many awesome businesses, I do not know how we got this place for $350,000 other than only God. I mean, that, if that's not a testimony of God coming through for his church, I don't know what is. And so between both locations, it's estimated that our current asset valuation would be about $5.2 million if we had to sell everything. So just drawing you to the fact that on a loan-to-value ratio, we currently have about 45% left to pay down on, because the loans now are $2.3 million, but the assets are roughly about $5.2 million. So we owe less than we own, if that makes sense. But I just draw you your attention to that, because that was something that the Fremantle board wanted to do. They wanted us to stop being a mobile campus and to take ground in this area so that we can be that lighthouse, be that beacon, be that light to the community. I just think back to when we were a mobile campus only less than 6 months ago, and it's funny how God like stretches you every year and does more and greater every year. Like last year when we were raising money for Our Story, Our Future, we were believing God for a van so that we could put all our, all this sound equipment, the monitors, the speakers, everything every week got packed down into a trailer. And then Michelle and I went and hooked it with our old 4x4 from Steve and Jenny's place, and we'd bring it to the place. And a couple of guys, we had this lift squad, which was like what we called the setup and pack down guys. But it was also called a lift squad, not only because we were lifting stuff, but we had to go up and down a lift to get everything unloaded. And I just, like, at that time, we were like, God, we want to make life for the mobile campus better. So we're believing that we can raise some money for the facility of having a van. And I just laugh at, like, you know, our thinking's here. Yeah, we're going to make our mobile campus better and easier to run. And God's like, how about I just give you a facility, you know? Like just do away with all of that, you know? And so we bought the van, and then we actually ended up selling it to Port Care for pretty much what we bought it for. So we used it for almost a year, and then we ended up selling that as an asset, and we put that towards renovating this facility. So it's just, the reason why I say that is whatever we end up buying for the church, it's like we can end up taking stuff away from the enemy, using it, and then building the kingdom from that. And it's like, last year, the legacy that we left was, oh, we got a van and we got some sound equipment. This year, it's like, no, we're taking some land. And, you know, we kind of keep taking more and more ground and bringing more and more light to the community. I just want to have a show of hands, if you guys don't mind. Who here is new from when we actually took this ground? Like, who wasn't part of the mobile campus days? If you wouldn't mind raising your hands. Steve, if you wouldn't mind, mate. Yeah, so if you weren't here in the mobile campus days. So now all these people here might not have stumbled across this church if we were still doing a mobile campus, you know, just going up and just setting up and packing down and all that. But I think there's something to be said for taking ground and having signs out during the week that people coming to play their golf are like, oh, there's a new house of God there. Let's go check it out. Or, oh, I've always thought of going to church, but I've never had the boldness to do it. And just walking in, and it's like, you know, if we hadn't taken steps like that, there's people here who might not have been in church. So you might be wondering, what are the ushers doing? We want to, Reese and all the MCs, we want to always welcome and make a big deal about new people, about people who are new to our church. So once a month, we're going to have a Sausage Sizzle Sunday. And what that's about is we want to welcome new people. And that also is your ticket to a free sausage sizzle. Everyone else has to donate a gold coin donation. But you guys can just lift up your bags and be like, hey, I got my free ticket. So make the most of this sausage sizzle. This is your last one that's free. Next time it's a gold coin donation. But we just really, we love new people. We love growth. We love new people coming closer to Jesus, walking helping you walk that walk, because all of us are on a journey of coming to know Jesus better and deeper and more intimately. But we can only do things like that by, you know, improving our facilities, taking ground. And we love having all these new people because we've got a facility here. You know, you guys might not have been in church if we weren't here. So praise God for that. I want to also get the next slide up, please, Duncan. So this is just an interesting comparison, right? So on the left, this is what Frio did so that Wellard could exist. So our mortgage payments, which is the line fee and the interest, roughly every month worked out to be about $7,000 a month before we renovated this place and increased our mortgage. But then now it's costing anywhere between $8,000 and $9,000, so on average about $8,600 a month because of the increased mortgage. So the Fremantle board decided that, look, we'll increase it by $1,600 a month because of this comparison on the right. So I just want to draw you to this. So we were paying approximately $1,300 a month to hire the John Wellard Community Center, because we would hire it for a couple of hours on a Sunday, but we'd also hire it on Friday for youth, to have Wellard youth. Reese, how glad are you to have a building for Wellard youth, mate? Like, it's so good. I mean, you guys don't have to be limited to a certain amount of hours and all this stuff. You have cleaners that come in sometimes and help you out. So, I mean, they don't leave it a pigsty, but it's a lot better than them having to be there with vacuum cleaners and whatever. Yeah, all of that stuff. And if youth runs an hour over, we're not going to get an extra charge for it or whatever. We're here, you know. So the thing is, it was costing us about $1,300 a month to hire the John Wellard Community Center. But if you look at the difference between these two graphs, it's costing us on average $1,600 a month more because of actually owning this facility, of increasing the mortgage. So it's only about $300 a month that we're paying more to be in this place. And who thinks it's so much better that $300 a month is worth it to be in this facility? I mean, it's really a no-brainer. So, yeah, so let's just bless Fremantle for what they did for us to have church. It's just so cool. So, yeah, that all said, I'm now going to get into the message. I just wanted to get a lot of the numbers out of the way and talk about why it's such an important thing to give towards the building program. So my message this morning is going to be along those lines about why do we partner with God's vision? Why do we, why do we give to the building and our facilities? So my message today that I want to share is called Tower Vision. Tower Vision, not Tunnel Vision, because that's like in the darkness, but Tower Vision. So you'll be seeing a lot of Assassin's Creed making an appearance, one of my favorite video games. I know someone will probably want to pray for me because it's violent and all this kind of stuff, but anyway, I like a good old Assassin's Creed, you know. Awesome. I'm glad there's another one in the house. It's good. Anyway, so it is great to be in this wonderful building today, church. It's a blessing to be in this facility. We have the benefits of amazing lighting and AV. You know, we have top-notch music thanks to the worship team. We've got aircon in here, which is nice. I don't think it's running at the moment because it's starting to get chilly, but, you know, we have it when we need it. We've got a cool cafe area with a funky lounge suite. I really like that orange lounge suite. Oh, yeah, it's really cool. But thing is I know there are a lot of needs and wants as far as, like, I'm aware that we need heating and cooling next door. Even maybe if we see more growth, we might need more toilet facilities. But it's still a pretty awesome place to meet and worship God, right? I'm sure everyone here has a secret church wish list, though. You know, I'm sure Karina wants, like, maybe a Thermomix, you know, just make life in the cafe a bit easier. Or maybe she wants a robot barista who can make coffees for everyone. I mean, that would be quite cool. Kristen spoke to me earlier about he wants inner ear monitors instead of these. I was like, oh, that would be quite cool, but nice to have long-term vision, you know? I mean, Joy and Sharmini next door probably want a mini Adventure World theme park for the kids. I mean, who knows? The security team probably want to fully outsource their role to a professional security team so that they can just come and sit in the service. Who knows? You know, there's what is on your church wish list? Rhys, do you have something that you want to see for youth? What do you want to see building-wise, facility-wise? Is there something you need or want this next year or in the long-term future? What is on your wish list, mate?
Oh, definitely want a massive entertainment hub right in the corner of the church where it's just like four TVs and
virtual reality.
Yeah, four PS4s.
Yeah. So, you know, come on.
Get the boys in, get the gamers in, but start the ministry right.
Come on, that's so cool. That's awesome. Like, how good is that? Yeah. Nats, is there anything you want to see? What's on your wish list? What would you like to see in church? More people? All right. Well, you know, there's an easy fix to that one, to more people. That's just invite more of your friends. Yeah. You can be a part of fixing that one. But the truth is, each of us have our own wish list of things that, oh, I wish church had this, or I wish church didn't have this. You know, it's good to dream and have plans for the future, church. My heart's utmost desire is to see this facility healthy and expanding. You know, maybe we can eventually own the whole block of Saneyford Way. I mean, yeah, why do I say this? Is it because I'm greedy and want to show off? No, I want to see the house of God flourishing. I want to see the kingdom expand into the community of Kwinana. I want to see people invite their friends to come and see the coolest Sunday kids program ever. You know, I want people to feel like this is their home. And so they bring others to maybe by the hundreds to come and hear the word of God. You know, we want to be part of God's plan, bringing light to the darkness. And a building like this makes it a whole lot easier than having a venue hire facility. Do you know that how many people I've spoken to over the last couple of weeks that just wandered in out of curiosity because they were driving past and they were like, oh, we should probably go check that out. I remember there was a couple, I don't think they're in church today, but a few weeks ago, they were like, oh, yeah, we've been driving past the signs for the last 3 months and we just thought, yeah, today's the day. We'll go and check it out. You know, and the Holy Spirit can use things like that, cultivate a curiosity in people's hearts. And things like that wouldn't happen if we weren't here actively taking ground away from the enemy, making a stand for Jesus, praising our mighty Heavenly Father every week in this place, bringing heaven on earth. Buildings are a blessing, but buildings speak of legacy. They're a way to help make the future for this city better, a future for this nation better. You know, it looks like the government is going to be making it harder and harder to worship Jesus in the future, but if we've already taken ground and we've paid the debt off, there's nothing they can do to take it away from us. You know, there's freedom in ownership in actually taking ground and in uniting together to build the church. I really would like to see us start paying down that mortgage. That's great that we own more than we owe if we were to sell everything up, but I really feel like we can bring that down just so that the church is more secure. I also just want to say thank you all for your contributions so far. For those of you who have been here for the last couple of years, and I do know the wish lists are long, but bear with us, we'll get there eventually. But let's, before we go any further and preamble about the building and that, I think it's wise to jump into God's word, but let's pray first. Let's all bow our heads. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you're in the business of building your church. We are so thankful for the wonderful facility you've blessed us with. Thank you that you are faithfully meeting us here every week. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity now to hear your word, speak to our hearts, and open our eyes to see your vision for our future. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's jump into the word of God, hey? The first scripture I want to take you to is Luke 12, 15 to 21. I'm going to be reading from The Voice. I really like this translation. It's similar to the Message paraphrase, but it's got a focus on spoken, what people said. So it's almost like sometimes like you're reading like a script on a, if any of you guys have ever done drama or like been in a play, it kind of like says then, you know, like a Shakespeare play or something, Romeo says this, Juliet says this. It's a similar translation where it's like Jesus says this, Pontius Pilate said this. So you'll see like colons of different people talking. Anyway, we're going to be mostly looking at what Jesus said. So it says in Luke 12, 15 to 21, then he used that opportunity to speak to the crowd. Jesus says this, you'd better be on your guard against any type of greed, for a person's life is not about having a lot of possessions. Hashtag minimalism, anyone? Just a joke on the side there. Anyway, 16, then beginning another parable, a wealthy man owned some land that produced a huge harvest. He often thought to himself, I have a problem here. I don't have anywhere to store all my crops. What should I do? I know. I'll tear down my small barns and build even bigger ones, and then I'll have plenty of storage space for my grain and all my other goods. Then I'll be able to say to myself, I have it made. I can relax and take it easy for years. So I'll just sit back, eat, drink, and have a good time. I like this part. Then God interrupted the man's conversation with himself. You would never see this in the King James Version, but anyway. Excuse me, Mr. Brilliant, but your time has come. Tonight you will die. Now, who will enjoy everything you've earned and saved? This is how it will be for people who accumulate huge assets for themselves, but have no assets in relation to God. Do you have huge assets, but no assets in relation to God? It was something that I asked myself this week, and it's like, what am I building? Am I building up wealth and assets for myself, or am I building up wealth and assets for the kingdom, for the church, when I'm no longer here, leaving a legacy? So, for the sake of time, I'm going to jump forward a bit. You can read verses 22 to 28 in your own time and get further context, but I want to jump now to 29. So, it's Luke 12, verse 29 to 34. Don't reduce your life to the pursuit of food and drink. Don't let your mind be filled with anxiety. People of the world who don't know God pursue these things, but you have a Father caring for you, a Father who knows all your needs. Since you don't need to worry about security and safety, about food and clothing, then pursue God's kingdom first and foremost, and these other things will come to you as well. Then I think the last little bit says, my little flock, don't be afraid. God is your Father, and your Father's great joy is to give you his kingdom. That means you can sell your possessions and give generously to the poor. You can have a different kind of savings plan, one that never depreciates, one that never defaults, one that can't be plundered by crooks or destroyed by natural calamities. Your treasure will be stored in the heavens, and since your treasure is there, your heart will be lodged there as well. Love that. Your treasure will be stored in the heavens, and since your treasure is there, your heart will be lodged there also. This is my first key point, take-home point, or just something to ponder, is where is your treasure? Interesting thing for Jesus to say and to ponder. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So this is basically saying, if my heart is in the house of God, I will love seeing the things that the house of God does, like people coming to salvation, like worshiping the name of our Lord together, the King of all kings. But it also means that if your heart is there, you'll sacrifice for the house. I spoke last week about how the financial sacrifices that I've made, for example, in my marriage to look for a really awesome ring, one that cost me a lot of money and took me a lot of time to decide upon. By looking for a wedding ring for my wife, that shows her that my heart is for her. In the same way, Jesus is saying that you can prove to God that your heart is focused on His things if you sacrifice some of your earthly treasure to build heavenly things like the house of God. Where is your treasure? But it's also more than that. The human psyche is funny in that when you buy something for a lot of money, you inevitably place a lot of value on that item. Even when it gets old and worn out, you're treasuring that thing because you remember the pain, be it financial, that it took to acquire that thing. Sometimes I look at some of the stuff I own and I'm like, work out how many hours of at my hourly rate of working to buy that item would have been. And you're like, man, that was like weeks and weeks to save up for that thing, or a couple of days for that thing. And it's like, we remember the pain and the difficult choice that it took to sacrifice our money to buy certain expensive things. I want to give you another example that some of you might relate with more. So let's say that you bought some expensive tickets to go and see your dream AFL team play another team in the grand final. Now, even if your team plays badly and it's a terrible game to watch and they lose, you'll probably still feel it was worthwhile to go and watch it and make the financial sacrifice. You'll justify it by making excuses for the team because you love them. You might say, you might highlight that it was amazing and simply so good that they made the finals in the first place. Whether they won or lost the finals, it doesn't matter. At least they got there. You'll probably sift through their performance and highlight one or two great plays. You'll say, oh, yeah, they lost, but that guy did that, and that was awesome. Or maybe you'll harp on about an unfair decision that the ref made that cost your team bitterly. You know, all of these things shows your level of investment in that team, in that sport, and where your heart is concerning that. It shows that you're willing to defend your team because you've sacrificed time, effort, and money to see your team succeed. It works the same with God's house. If right now you've only ever given a little to build the house of God, you probably value it, but not that much. You probably value the people who serve here, but not that much. You probably have little appreciation for the things we're doing in missions or the things we are planning for the city of Kwinana going forward. But if you've year in and year out given time and money and served and seen people's lives transformed and seen amazing healings take place and seen relationships and marriages restored, and you've seen the fruit of your giving, like going from a van to an actual facility. When you start seeing things like that happen, your heart, it's funny how God changes it, and your heart moves more and more towards the house of God because you've sacrificed and you've given and you've partnered. You'll start to see yourself taking a shift where you become kingdom-minded. We can all be a little bit more concerned with the things of God and the things that He's doing long-term through His church. We should all recognize that our time here is short and that the harvest is ready. People are hungry for the Word of God and they need Jesus in their life. Let me give you another small illustration from my life. So I've got quite a bit of experience in engineering. I've got a degree in chemical engineering. I've also got a bunch of Australian tickets in weld testing. And I was well on my way to earning probably well over $100,000 a year. Where I was going. I have a cousin who works in oil and gas, and he said to me, mate, you got to look at becoming a pressure vessel inspector. I wrote the ASIP exam, which is like a qualification for pressure vessel inspection, and I actually ended up failing that exam, but I was going to rewrite it. And it basically, once I got into that space, yes, it's a lot of pressure, a lot of working away on oil and gas rigs and stuff like that, but I was well on my way to earning a lot of money and setting myself up to have a lot of assets, buy a house, all that kind of stuff. So that was where I was heading. And then God stepped into that and he gave me the most amazing opportunity to give up that and sacrifice that dream and that big paycheck and, you know, sacrifice all of that to build the house of God. You know, when Pastor Nigel came to me, I was on this path of doing really well. I had a company car. I had a boss that really respected me. He was saying, oh, I'm going to elevate you to becoming a supervisor pretty shortly. And he was devastated when I said to him, man, I've been offered a full-time role with the church. I'm going to leave it all behind. And he was like, man, what are you doing? You've got all these qualifications. You've got this degree and you're just leaving it all to go into religion. And he couldn't understand it. You know, this Michelle and I discussed this at length before I took the opportunity. And we were like, we're going to make a sacrifice probably for the rest of our lifetime. Because even now, if I left the church, I haven't been working in that capacity for 2 years. I probably struggle for someone to take me on and they'd be like, oh, you don't have experience. As it was hard to get into that. But Michelle and I discussed it and we were like, no, you know what? We value God's house. We value the lives of people. We value the things that this community of churches is doing. And we're going to actually forfeit the big paycheck for what God is doing in the kingdom. We want to see the kingdom flourish. And we made a permanent decision to sacrifice our future money-making potential for the future of God's house. You know? And I'm not saying that everyone needs to give up their job and go into ministry at all. I'm merely sharing something to prompt you to ask yourself, where is my treasure? Where is my heart? Is it in the church and building the kingdom? Or is it with lifting up the poor and the broken in Liberia or in through Port Care? Or is it out in the marketplace building my career and my own little kingdom here on earth? Am I now focused or forever focused? Let's take a look at a few more things that Jesus said recorded in the Gospel of Luke. I want to draw you to Luke 14, 27 to 33, also in the voice. If you don't carry your own cross as if to your own execution as you follow me, you can't be part of my movement. Just imagine that you want to build a tower. Wouldn't you first sit down and estimate the cost to be sure you have enough to finish what you start? If you lay the foundation, but then can't afford to finish the tower, everyone will mock you. Look at that guy who started something that he couldn't finish. Or imagine a king gearing up to go to war. Wouldn't he begin by sitting down with his advisors to determine whether his 10,000 troops could defeat the opponent's 20,000 troops? If not, he'll send a peace delegation quickly and negotiate a peace treaty. In the same way, if you want to be my disciple, it will cost you everything. Don't underestimate that cost. So this is my second point for the day. Let's correctly estimate the cost of building God's kingdom church. Yes, it can seem hard and difficult at times, but let me assure you, you're getting involved in one of the best things that you can be involved in. You're getting involved in building something lasting, something that'll be around and survive past your and my lifetime, something that echoes into eternity. Let's take a quick look at this Our Story, Our Future card on your seat. You know, this card, as it says on the front there, 12-month faith promise card. It allows you to commit for a full year to giving an amount that you can manage towards our building and facilities. This doesn't, however, replace your tithes. Rather, it's an over and above giving offering. But it's not a once-off offering either, even though the option is there as once-off. It's a 12-month commitment. And the reason why, I want to explain it like this. Who knows that it's so easy to go to the gym once, but so much harder to go week in and week out for over a year? I mean, so many gyms know that they just have this attrition after January. Everyone's like, New Year's resolutions, we're going to get in the gym and we're going to see this through for the whole year. But very little people do it. You'll see little to no results from going to the gym once, but you'll see a lot of change over a whole year. It's the same with this kind of giving. It's a once-off offering of what you can manage. Like, if you give a once-off offering of what you can manage right now, that will benefit the kingdom. That will make a difference. But it's like going to the gym once. But an ongoing steady gift will allow you to do so much more for the church. You know, Michelle and I, we committed to doing it fortnightly because we both get paid fortnightly. So every time a paycheck comes out, we send a little bit to the building fund. And it's like, I look at if we added up all the little bits that we gave throughout the year, that's a huge amount to give off once off. And we couldn't have afforded to do it once off. But because we partnered and we decided, okay, what can we give over the next year? Like, seriously, what can we give? It added up to a really big amount by the end of 12 months. So I just wanted to explain that you can give once off, but an ongoing gift allows us to do so much more. And it makes it a lot more manageable. You know, maybe you can't give 500 bucks right now, but over the next 12 months, you can give a little bit every month to make up 500 bucks. There's so many things that we believe in God for. You know, we want to maybe pay down the mortgage. I spoke about that. We want to get more music equipment, stuff for the cafe, all that kind of stuff. There's so many building and facility related things that go into this place that we are in right now, let alone all the building maintenance. As you guys know, whoever here owns a house, things get damaged, things get broken, things get worn down. There's always stuff that needs fixing up. But let's estimate the cost together, church. Think about what you can give, but also think about what you can give up to make sure that the house of God, the house of freedom, is healthy. Let's estimate the cost together. Let's estimate it together. I've got another story. Michelle and I saw a big drop in our finances, in our income last year, due to a number of different reasons, job changes and unforeseens and stuff. But we'd already made a commitment to the missions program and to the building program. And so we didn't want to change our giving and saving habits. We're trying to save to buy a house eventually. So we thought about what we could give up. You know, we made some big and small lifestyle changes to ensure that we kept giving our tithes, kept giving to missions, kept giving to our story, our future as well, because of that whole heart thing. Where's our heart? And we'd already made that promise. So we thought, how can we change to follow through on what we promised? So some of the big things that we gave up was we used to rent a really cool two-bedroom apartment in North Frio. It was pretty flash, close to the river, close to the ocean. Alta has been there. It's pretty cool. We thought, you know what? If we move to a smaller house in a shabbier area, you know, we can make that sacrifice. Yeah, it's a bit further to drive to the beach and it's not so close to the river and all that. But if we cut back on that and we cut back maybe on going out and going away on the weekends, we can follow through with what we promised. You know, we sold our 4x4 and our other big sedan. That thing just used to be like flushing petrol down the toilet, man. That thing was so thirsty. And now we just have one small car that uses much less fuel. We looked at, like, where can we sacrifice to make sure that we fulfill and see the house of God prosper? This is because we're not only thinking of our own future and the long-term financial being of our well-being of ourselves, but we also just thinking about how can we fulfill what we've promised to the house of God. We've thought long and hard about what we can give up to see the lives of people changed and the house of God successful. In the same way, we can all make small changes to our lives and be a little bit less selfish and give a little bit more to our Heavenly Father who sacrificed all to save us. Let's unite together, church, and this is my final point for today. Finish the tower. Finish the tower. So we don't want to see this church campus that we've started in Kwinana fail. I'm just going back to that that verse, you know, it says, we don't want to lay the foundation that we can't afford to finish and have people mock us. Look at that guy that started something that he couldn't finish. We don't want people to mock and say, oh, we remember there was a C3 church in that Staniford Way building and now they're gone. Like, oh, obviously they couldn't afford the mortgage or whatever. That's not our heart. We want to see the church flourish, go from strength to strength. We're a lighthouse shining the light of Jesus into this dark community. We are a strong tower that can stand against whatever comes our way. Together we can do this. We can do this together. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Come on. I wanted to get my Barack Obama on there. Yes, we can. Come on. You know, how good would it be if we could afford to pay off a significant part of the mortgage so that the interest payments reduce, so that it's not up around $9,000 a month? You know, we can maybe bring that back down again so that it's back to what it was. You know, or how awesome would it be to buy the bakery next door and put a new toilet block in there so that we can extend the kids zone, you know? There's so many big things that we could do if we eventually build up a building fund that's large enough through Our Story, Our Future. But we have to start somewhere. Let's finish the tower and the things that we've started. Let's all estimate the cost of what we can give and make a commitment for this coming year. Let's not have tunnel vision, but let's have tower vision. We want to finish that tower. This is my final scripture for this morning, and then I want to talk a little bit about these cards. Is Luke 6, verse 38 in the New Living Translation. Don't hold back. Give freely, and you'll have plenty poured back into your lap. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, brimming over, you'll receive in the same measure that you give. It's funny, even when I look back at all the time and money I've personally given up for Jesus and His church over the years, I've been tithing since I was that small, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. God always gives back to us, not necessarily always financially, but in so many other ways. I've always been healthy most of my life. I've had enough to eat. I've had a roof over my head. I've got a good family, many friends. I live a super fulfilling and abundant life. And I reckon a big reason as to why all of this is because I put God and His kingdom first in my life. No, it's so rewarding knowing that you're part of building a church where people are getting set free from addiction, from bondage, where broken relationships are being restored, where the Creator of heaven and earth speaks to us every week through His Word. Thank you, church, for considering getting involved and being part of the vision. You know, this is our story and our future, but ultimately it's God's story and God's future that He's using us to be a part of and bring life and light to the city of Kwinana. You know, I'll leave you in a moment to fill out the cards, and the ushers, the ushers won't collect them. We'll put all the cards in here. But I just want to go through three final thoughts, and I think we have a slideshow, Duncan, on this. Three final thoughts before we make a faith promise for the next year. Let's all take the faith promise card in our hand today, church. I've got a couple of questions to ask you. This is part of the legacy we leave behind in this place for a better future. The first question I want to ask is, and I've been asking it throughout my message this morning, but the first main question is, what can I give? You know, a faith promise for kingdom expansion, it's over and above the tithe. We need our tithes to be strong so that we can continue to impact the nations for Jesus. But so don't transfer your tithe over into Our Story, Our Future, because that will, you know, slow down the kingdom expansion. What I do want to say is that we are incredibly blessed living in Australia. Even if you're on the dole, or you're at university, or even on a pension, you are rich compared to a lot of people. Man, I look at the people in Liberia, in Sierra Leone, even back home where I come from in Zimbabwe. The average Australian is really rich, even if they're in those categories I mentioned. And we need to be generous from that place of plenty. The second question I want to ask is, what can I give up? There's many things that we can make small changes in our life. We can give up coffees every morning, you know, and by giving up a coffee every morning, you add that up, what is that, $25 to $30 a week, you know, and give that rather to the building fund. Or we can give up going to so many holiday destinations, or maybe giving up going out shopping so often. This question of what can I give up, it sort of digs into this. Am I a fan of Jesus, or am I a follower of Jesus? And the answer to that question we'll see yielding very different results. Fans give a certain amount. Followers give a very different amount. I've given many things up for the kingdom of God and to serve His church, and I encourage you to do so also. But God's purposes ultimately ride upon the willingness of our hearts. It may be hard, but it's so rewarding in the end. Ask yourself before you fill this in, what can I give up to see God's house flourish? And the final question that I have is, what can I believe God for? You may feel that you've got a certain amount that's like, yeah, I can live with $5 a week, you know, give up a coffee a week or whatever and give it to God. But what does God say? He's a God that meets us in the gap between what we think is possible and what He knows is possible. You know, God's always there meeting us as we step out in faith into that unknown. Faith tells us that no matter what lies ahead, God is already there before us. He is faithful and trustworthy to meet us as we step out in obedience. The Bible is really clear about this. Faith pleases God. Whether it's Abraham willing to sacrifice Isaac, I spoke about this last week. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son for God. David sacrifice a lot of money to buy the threshing floor and the ground around it. Solomon sacrificed to build God's temple. Or each of us can just sacrifice in our own way by stepping out in faith and making that financial sacrifice to see the kingdom of God built. These are all small steps of sacrificial faith. God sees all of it, and he most of all sees your heart attitude behind the giving. And let me assure you, this act of faith pleases him. Hebrews 11 verse 6 in the New Living Translation says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." That's what a faith promise is. It's a promise that you will be a good steward of what God has put in your hand for the next year. And then adding faith to it and believing that God will meet you in that gap. God can use us to powerfully build his church. God can always do what we can't do. So church, in summary, what can I give? What can I give up? What can I believe God for? I'll give you all a moment to now fill this out. And we're going to get the kids. All the kids have been told that they are giving to their building fund. Taylor, if you wouldn't mind getting the kids to come through, they're going to lead and come and bring all their little envelopes with what they, I mean, some of them are only bringing $2, $10, whatever, but it all makes a difference. So let's give the kids a round of applause as they come and give their faith promises. I'm going to leave you guys now as the worship team comes up. They're going to play and bring their faith promise cards. Give you a few moments just to fill that out. When you're ready, just come and pop it in here. And then we'll sing one final song, and then it's sausage time. So, yeah, bless you guys as you fill out your cards. Thank you.